We're so happy this morning to be able to sit in the house of God and receive the message of the glorious benefits from our contract, the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant. The mystery writings. Everybody say the mystery writings. This is the volume of truth that was hid from generations. Now is made known to the grace recipients in the grace dispensation. This is our contract. These are our benefits. Let us sit prayerfully as Elder Carolyn Lieberman said, now come and minister to us the gospel of the grace of God. Let us receive her with a very hearty amen.
Amen, amen. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. You know, if you know grace, you'll know peace. If you don't know grace, you have no peace. And we just thank God for the opportunity of coming before you this morning. Would everyone please bow their head for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the opportunity to share the word. We're asking, Lord, that you might remember those that are present, those that are yet even on their way, and those that are in the worldwide audience by way of the internet. We're asking, Lord, that you might open all of our eyes that we may behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God. Father, we're asking that you might give us hearing ears and seeing eyes, and that you might, by the Holy Spirit, illuminate those things and those truths that you'd have us to walk away with today. We ask these many blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just love the pastor's pen. You know, I love to go through them. I kind of keep them, and I got a stack of them, and they are such an encouragement to me. You know, many times we don't have a lot of time. We don't take enough time to sit down with all of our study books and guides and go through the Greek and go through an exegete. But the pastor's pen are such a blessing to me because it's like a bite-sized bit that I can just go into, grab, read, and go. And so for our discerning today, our looking into the Word, we're looking at the pastor's pen. It is the essence of eternal life, and it's dated June 10th, 2012. And my reader, I'd like you to please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, and we're going to put special emphasis on verse 9 and 11. Now, you might say, Sister Karen, why do you always start with Ephesians? Well, I kind of start with how the Holy Spirit leads me to start, and it's in Ephesians. And reader, could you please read verses 3 to 5 for me, and then verse 9 and 11 in King James, and then the Greek. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, and we're also going to look at 9 and 11. King James first, please. Yes.
Reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning with the third verse.
Thank you.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Mm-hmm. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself.
Hallelujah.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will.
After the counsel of his own will. Do you know it is not about us? It is all about him. You know, when we read those verses, it talks about the fact that we were predestined in eternity before the foundation of the world to be members of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Didn't have anything to do with what you did or didn't do. It was done before time in eternity in the original decree of God. You know, most of us have heard the phrase that we are all God's children. And you know, that's not really true. When people say that in my presence, they say, well, you know, we all God's children. I say, no, we're not all God's children. We are all creatures of the same Creator, but we're not all God's children. God's children are those that we just read about, those that were predestined in eternity before the foundation of the world to be called the body of Christ. And that was done not because we were baptized, not because we said the sinner's prayer, not because, as my husband told me, he was on the mourner's bench down at Galilee Baptist Church in North Carolina. No. Didn't have anything to do with what you did. It had everything to do with what was done for you in eternity before the foundation of the world, according to his good pleasure and according to his will. See, it is all about him, and it has nothing to do with us. Doesn't have anything to do. The Bible says we're saved by grace, unmerited favor. And it's not about what you do. It's all about what was done for you in eternity. And you know what? We've got to kind of get a handle on that, because this trips up a lot of the saints of God. You know, what does it mean to be a child of God? We are children of God. We're the body of Christ. What does that really mean? Ephesians 3 and 4 tells us, and it says that we're blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, according as he has chosen us. Again, it's not about us, what he did before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, when we think about blessings, most of us think about materialism. Most of us think about the fact that we have a new car, or we live in a nice house, or these things that are temporary. Those are not what he's talking about. He says very specifically where the blessings lie. And it's in the heavenlies, in eternity. The blessings of God are not temporary, but they are eternal in him. Those are the blessings. We know that when we start thinking about materialism or physicality, we know those things are passing. They do not satisfy. They are temporary. All of us like new cars. Oh, yeah, we like new cars. Those of us who have privy to have them like that new car smell. Yeah. But do we like it as those new car notes start coming? Oh, that's reality check, isn't it? Yeah, those notes, month after month after month. I remember when I got my first car I'm not even going to tell you. Well, actually, it was 1972, a long time ago. My car note was $93. And I thought that was a pretty big note. But what are people paying today because of inflation and the rest of things that have gone on in time? Our car notes are $6 and $7 and $8, some of them $1,100. But back in that day, 93 was a pretty heavy note for, you know, for a person like me. Oh, and I thought it was the cat's meow. Well, guess what I did with that car? It was a Gran Torino Sport. It had a fastback checkerboard top and a raised hood and 400 engine. It was just almost jump away from you. Say, whoa, 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 whoa. Guess what I did with that car? I was thinking about it the other day. You know, I gave it away. I almost gave it away to one of my friend's son because it got old. And guess what else happened to it? It started rusting. Yeah. And that feeling I had for it in 72, I didn't have that same feeling in 77. Didn't have it. Had lost it. Because it was temporary. Do you know, physicality, physical things are not really going to satisfy you. They're always temporary. They always keep you yearning for more. They never satisfy. There's no real joy in it. Happiness, which is temporary, but no real joy. You know, our real joy is in Him, in Christ, in the heavenly blessings, the spiritual blessings. That's where your joy lies. That's where realizing who you are in Christ and what He has done for you helps sustain us. Regardless of what's going on in the processes of life, we have the joy of the Lord. We have the joy of the Lord in the good times and the bad times. The joy of the Lord stays constant and the same. That's a heavenly, spiritual blessing. And that's where we want to keep our eyes on, the spiritual blessings. Because the temporary things, right here in time, the here and now, those things that are manifested in time are temporary. They're all temporary. And so whatever we have that is in the physical, the right now, the manifested stage, it's all passing. It's all passing. It's not going to be able to sustain you. It will not help govern. It won't change who you really are. Because who we are who we are in Christ. That's the real you and the real me. So, it tells us that we, the body of Christ, a.k.a. children of God, have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And again, what are spiritual blessings? Spiritual blessings are eternal, invisible, not physical. They are what we refer to here at Grace Gospel as the ancients. The ancients, yeah, yeah. Those are the real things that we want to keep our eyes on. We want to keep our eyes on salvation. Now you say, oh, Sister Liverman, we're talking about salvation again. Do you know that salvation is the key to who we are? The fact that we are saved, that means you're safe and you're secure in Christ. You know, regardless of what's going on in the processes of time, we can trust and have faith in the eternal purpose of God. We were saved in eternity. And if you're saved in eternity, you cannot be lost in time. And this is a big problem. You know, we have ministers and we have people who are tune in to our webcast, and some of them write in, and my husband and the deacon and various ministers here get letters or give responses, and over and over and over again, we get questions about salvation. We get questions about if I can just make it in, if my foot doesn't slip, I'll see Jesus. But you know, we shouldn't be worrying about just making it in. We were in all the time. We were in the beginning. And where was the beginning? Before the foundation of the world, we were in. And if you were in eternity, you can't possibly be out because of something that occurs in time. Now, we at Grace Gospel, most of us kind of have that. But that's a problem for many of the members of the body of Christ. We think that we can lose salvation, that we can backslide, that we can do things to alter our relationship or position in Christ. And that's impossible. That's impossible because your placement in the body of Christ didn't occur in time. It occurred in eternity before time. And since it occurred in eternity before time, it can't be lost in time. Time is temporary. There'll be a time when there is no time, when we'll all leave this matrix or this measurement of time. You know, we talk about leaving the measurement of time. Many of you, you know that my mother passed after a brief illness. And bless God, I've been back and forth to Florida about 4 times in the last 2 months. And that was a pretty big blow for me. But, you know, in passing, my mother passed as she lived. And that was trusting in the Lord. She passed as she lived. A pastor has many times made reference to the fact that she was up having surgery, a major surgery, and she was cool, calm, and collected. And she told, I was there, the pastor and I were standing there, and she said, well, pastor, haven't you taught us that it's already done, and if it's already done, it's already done. Ain't no need of us sitting here worrying and pondering. We're completed in Christ, she was saying. And you know, she passed on the same way. She passed on the same way. My aunt and I were there, as well as my uncle and papa. And auntie said, Karen, look. Said, she is smiling. And you know she was. She was smiling because she had made it to where we are all going. Those that are members of the body of Christ. We are all going. Everybody's not a member of the body of Christ. Everybody is not going. So, if you have the confidence of knowing that you were saved in eternity before the foundation of the world, you don't have to be afraid of what goes on in manifestation in time. You don't have to be pastor's got a book coming out. Don't be afraid of God's will. If you know who you are in the body of Christ, you don't have to be afraid of God's will. Regardless of what happens, you don't have to walk in fear. Can you please turn to Romans chapter 8? We're going to look real quickly at verse 39 to 37. And that's going to kind of solidify the fact that once you're saved in eternity, you are never lost in time. Once saved in eternity, always saved. Once saved, always saved. Everybody say once saved. Always saved. Yeah, if our salvation is eternal, and it is, then you cannot lose it in time, which is temporary. Reader?
Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 37th verse. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now, in those scriptures that we just read, he named everything that he could name. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You know, years ago I was teaching our youth in Sunday school, and we had my nephew who was a visitor with us, and we went over these scriptures. And he stopped me because he had an epiphany. It was like a light went on. He said, Aki, he said, nothing can separate us. I said, nothing can separate us. Because we've been taught that you can lose salvation in time. You can lose salvation based on what you say or do or didn't say or didn't do or and so on and so on. And that's not true. We are saved in eternity before the foundation of the world, and we'll always be saved. We'll be in Christ because that's our sonship position, and it never changes. And I'm just so grateful. That is a spiritual blessing, the fact that we are saved. That's a spiritual blessing. It's eternal. It's invisible, and it is what the real is. The real deal is that you are saved, and you'll always be saved, that you're safe and secure in Christ Jesus. Once saved in eternity, never lost in time. Now, considering eternal life, we must consider another action, and that's election. Election. Another nation, that eternal blessing, that spiritual blessing. In Romans 9, and can you turn to that, please? It's just over the next chapter, 9, 11 to 15. This trips a lot of people up. When we start talking about election, we've been taught that God wants everybody saved. And he does. Everybody who has been elected to be saved will be saved. Everybody that he has called, that he has elected, will be saved. For us to think any different, we're saying that God is a weakling, that he wanted somebody saved, but the devil is greater and overpowered the will of God. Is that true? Absolutely not. That's absurd. You know, when we consider eternal life, we're considering the fact that we were called. We didn't pick him. You know, people say, well, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He was never lost. You didn't find Jesus. You didn't find him. He was never lost. You came to the knowledge and the truth of who you are in Christ. You know, and that was because he caused you to come to that truth. Yeah, yeah. The Bible says if the Spirit doesn't draw, nobody can come. Nobody can come. And when did he call you out? He called you out in eternity, before time. Before time, you were caused to come. If you went down the aisle, you were caused to go. If you got baptized, you were caused to be baptized. If you repented of your sins, it's because you were caused. You were caused. It wasn't about you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's done for you. It's all about him and his eternal plan, his eternal working for you, whom he loved in eternity before the foundation of the world. Yeah, you're that special. You're that special. He picked you out in eternity. Hallelujah. He knew you before there was a you in this body, in manifestation, in time. Hallelujah. And if we can get a glimpse of that, hallelujah, we'll be able to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. We'll realize it's all about him and that it is done in a completed deal in Christ in eternity. That will take away the worry. That'll take away the fear. That will keep us from moving forward in the plan of God. Hallelujah. Being paralyzed. Hallelujah. It'll give us liberty in Christ. Reader, can you please read? And this is about our election.
Romans chapter 9, beginning with the 11th verse. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Verse 15.
Hallelujah. 15.
For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
You see, it is all about him. You know, if you look at the economy under the law, the elder, all of the inheritance, everything went to the older son. And when we're looking at this, we're seeing where he's saying that the older will serve the younger. That was not according to the law. But the election of God is not according to the law. It's according to the divine will and plan of God in eternity. And in eternity, he had picked Jacob over Esau. In eternity, he picked. You know, we see God selecting in the house of Israel right here. So if God has always selected, how come we get into the New Testament, into the grace dispensation, and think God stopped selecting? God stopped picking. He's still picking. He picked when? In his original decree in eternity, he elected who would be in the body of Christ and who wouldn't. He didn't just stop. He's still selected. Always has been. Has called his people out in eternity. And that still stands. So, Jacob was elected in eternity, and Esau was rejected in eternity. This was before any of them had done anything. No sin involved here. No sin involved. It's because of the divine will and plan of God in eternity before the foundation of the world. Now, does that give us permission to sin? No. That's covered in Romans chapter 6 when it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. God forbid. No, God forbid. As you know better, you do better. But when we start talking about my life can't be spotted, I'm righteous. I'm saved and I'm blessed because of what I did. That's erroneous. You know, how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Just one. You know. And do you have to teach people to do wrong? Absolutely not. It's in you. The Bible says we've all sinned. Everybody say all. All sin and all fallen short of the glory of God. So you can't fix your life to make it presentable and acceptable. Hallelujah. The Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ. All of your righteousness, self-righteousness, is as filthy rags. Don't amount to nothing. Hallelujah. So we must all abide under the lordship and covering of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not about us, but all about him. So, Jacob did he love? He elected, and Esau had he hated. And you know what? Again, it is all about him. As fellow creatures of the same creator, we all have immortality. The Bible says we shall all change. But we all don't have eternal life. Eternal life is one of the spiritual blessings that we just talked about in Ephesians. We, the sons of God, those in the body of Christ, have inherited eternal life. All souls will continue eternally in some form of existence after the end of our physical life. The elect or the body of Christ have the eternal fulfillment of everlasting life in Christ Jesus. That's one of the spiritual blessings. The fact that we have eternal life. We, right now, you right now that are members of the body of Christ are right now in eternity and have eternal lasting life in Christ. Opposed to the non-elect who have right now the barrier of spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. That's never changing. Our eternal everlasting life is right now. And their eternal from God is right now. They're on the other side. They're not on God's side. They are not God's children. And this is hard for us. This is hard for us. Now, can we say, why was I picked? Well, we don't know. We just read that. He said, can we call God unjust? Absolutely not. Can the pot say to the potter, why'd you form me? Absolutely not. We know that it's according to his good pleasure, and it's according to his original decree in eternity before the foundation of the world. Would I have picked me? Absolutely not. Wouldn't pick me. Not me. See, you all see one part. Huh? The other part, that when I look in the mirror, I see the real thing. And would I pick me? No, sirree. I would not have picked me. Can't judge you, but I know that I wouldn't have picked me. Hallelujah. But hallelujah, am I glad that he picked me? Am I glad that I'm in the body of Christ? Just like you should rejoice in that spiritual blessing. It's more valuable than silver and gold. Hallelujah. It's more valuable than anything that you can have down here in earth. The fact that we were saved in eternity before the foundation of the world, one of the true spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. Salvation in him. So, we are right now in eternity. We right now have everlasting life. You know, we have confusion about divine purpose in God because we don't understand actualization in eternity in contrast to manifestation in time. You know, we think everything is going on right down here and right now. We think what we see is the real thing. But you know, what you see is not real. What's real, what was actualized in eternity, that's what's real. And that's what we have the confusion. We don't understand the difference between the saying, or the original decree of God in eternity, and the seeing, which is the manifestation of God in time. We put all of our faith and confidence in the temporary. We think that what we see is what we get, and that's not true. That's just a glimmer, a depiction of the real story. What's real is what's invisible. What's real was what was decreed in God in eternity. That's the real. And if you can look beyond the temporary into the eternal, you'll have some peace and rest. We won't be laying up in the bed scratching. Hallelujah. We won't be perplexed and downtrodden. We'll realize that this is all temporary. It's all subject to change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember Pastor was talking about when he was first starting his business and he got behind on some of his bills, and he went to his pastor and said, you know, I'm in trouble. I got some disconnect notices. Yeah, I got some finalizations on some things. And the pastor said, let's look into salvation. Oh my God. What has salvation got to do with me being behind on my bills? Everything. If you realize that it's already done, then you can have some peace and you can rest if you realize it's already done. You know what? This will take the power out of everything that plagues you. It'll take the power out of your children's failures or what they're not doing. Because, you know, children never listen to their parents. I didn't listen to mine. Did you listen to yours? No, we don't listen, do we? You know, and we don't have the experience, do we? But if you look into your eternal contract, hallelujah, it'll cause you to have some peace. It'll cause you to put your children in the right perspective. And what perspective is that? That they're not yours, they're his. They belong to him. And that whatever's going on in their life is what God has decreed, and this is part of their process. Hallelujah. And then you can turn the light off. I remember my oldest son was having some difficulty. And, you know, sometime he married, sometime he ain't, but I don't get involved with that because they all grown folks. And my husband was walking turning the light on, you know, walking back and forth. Finally, he just said, and I'm sitting there trying to sleep. He finally said, you don't care nothing about David. I said, yeah, I care about David, but I also know that David don't belong to us. He belonged to God, and God already has this worked out, so turn the light off. Go to sleep. God already got it. Regardless of what's going on in your life, might not be a David, it may be a Michelle. Might not be a Michelle, it might be a Michael, but God's got it. Turn your light off. God's got it. If we can get a vision of that, we can put everything in proper perspective that we are complete in Christ and it's already done. Hallelujah. So, understand that the manifestation or the process is all about his eternal purpose. The purpose is the real, and the purpose is what we're working through the process. And God's got that too. God's got that. He's got control over that. You know, so if we can get a hold of that, we'll understand what walking by faith is about. You know, we talk a lot about faith. People write books about how to have strong faith and what happens when you have weak faith. Do you know all of it is God's faith? Have the faith of God. It belongs to God. Hallelujah. And he imparts it to you as you need it according to his purposes. See, nothing is about you. You're not in control of none of this. You're not in control of it. It's beyond you. It's beyond time. Our processes are according to the divine will and purposes of God that were placed in eternity in God's original decree. You know, God's not making daily decisions based on what you do. Oh, if I pray harder, if I put out a fleece, if I fast, I used to go hungry. Notice I say used to. You see, I ain't been hungry much lately. But used to, thinking that I could fast and pray, and God would work it out according to my way. Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't work that way. What is already is. What is, you know, we get stuck in time. We get stuck looking back in time. Lamenting over what we didn't do or should have, could have. Or we get stuck looking in the future. What we can do to impact the future. And we miss the eternal now. Nothing but the eternal now. Now is faith. Right now. And we miss it. And we cause ourselves a lot of suffering and pain when we, those that are in Christ, who know who we are in the body, we don't have to live like that. We don't have to. You know, to walk by faith is to accept the fact that our real life is our life that's hidden in Christ in God. Not what's going on down here day to day. Your real life is your completed life in Christ. That's your real life. You know, we just have imaginary agendas. Yeah. You know, we say we're going to go here and we're going to do that. And in actuality, it's imaginary. The only thing you're going to do is what God has already preordained for you to do. Yeah, that's what you're really going to do. Yeah, that's why you hear the old folks, when they would talk and they pray, they say, if it's the Lord's will. We don't want to preference that, though. We don't want to say if it's the Lord's will. We want our will. We want it right now. Snap, crackle, pop. We like instant potatoes and instant rice. Yeah, we like microwaves. Yeah, we want it right now. But is that how life is? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Life is an adventure. It's a journey that has already been outlined for you. Hallelujah. Outlined according to His divine will and purpose for you. No accidents and coincidences. What God has for you, it's for you. Hallelujah. So you might as well sit back and enjoy the ride. And when we talk about enjoying the ride, you might have to run through a storm. Might rain. Or it might be a drought. Yeah. We don't know what it's going to look like, but we know that we're not alone. He promised He'd never leave us or forsake us. And we know that it's all working out to our good according to His divine will and purpose. And that's what walking by faith is about. It's about living your real life, which is your life hidden in Christ in God. And that life hidden in Christ in God, we're not going to look at it, but you can later look at it. It's in Colossians 3 verses 1 to 5. And the fact that we are complete in Christ, you can look at that later also. That's Colossians 1 and 10, where it tells us that we are complete in Christ. In Him, we are complete. Hallelujah. To walk by faith is to have confidence in His eternal purpose, which many times is hidden and invisible to us on a daily basis, opposed to trusting in the process. We want to trust in the process, not the purpose. And that's because the purpose is not told to us. We're not always made privy to what the purpose is and the end for God is for us as we go through this life. We don't know. And we don't like that because it's about power and control, isn't it? Which we have none, do we? Did you know you don't have any power and control? Did you know that? Do you know you can't add one hair or take one away? That they're all counted? Hallelujah. That it's all about Him and not about you. And if you can get that, you'll stop looking at the manifestations which are subject to change. And you'll look at the spiritual blessings which are eternal and fixed in the heavenlies. Will never change. Hallelujah. You know, we don't need to be afraid of God's will. We want to say, if it's the will of God, if it really is our will.
Right.
You all get that? Well, I want this, you know, like I want it. When I want it, how I want it, and then I want the will of God. You can't mix it all up. Can't mix it. It doesn't come like that. It doesn't come like that. And that's the problem for us. You know, when things are what we want going our way, we say we're being blessed. However, if it works, if it's working the other way, how we don't want the uncomfortable way, we say it's the work of the devil. The devil's got me running. The devil's doing this to me. The devil's, you know, don't you all know who the devil is? Not a free radical. He's not creating anything. He's got marching orders. Think about Job. That whole thing that transpired with Job was initiated and controlled and outlined. The parameters were set by God, not the devil. So, the devil is a creation of God. He's a creature. And he only carries out his assigned purposes in the temporary processes of God. That's all he is, you know. God alone is the creator or maker of all things. Him alone. Satan is not out there conjuring up nothing. That's why I say, if he came through the door at midnight hour at my house, I turn around and say, oh, it's just you. It's just you. Because I know that he can only go as far as God allows him to go. And I know that that's the will of God for me right now. I know that he always causes me to triumph in Christ. I know that God is the author and the finisher of my faith. And he's the author and finisher of yours too. Hallelujah. We can trust God. And we can pray that God, that his will be done. Because his will is good and perfect. Hallelujah. For us. Now, do we always agree with it? No. And that's because we only have limited knowledge. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever heard that we should thank God for the prayers that were not answered? Do you know all praying is praying according to the will of God, even if you don't ask for it right? Did you know that? Did you know that all your petitions are filtered by the Holy Ghost? He's our intercessor. He's our standby. Hallelujah. He's our comforter. Hallelujah. He takes your prayer, which is just limited because we're limited, and he perfectly aligns it with the will of God, and that's what's being done, whether or not you like it or not.
That's right.
Do we always like it? No. But is it always... Remember, when I was a little girl and we got a cold, matter of fact, you said you were sick and didn't go to school. If you wasn't sick, by the time they got through giving you all that castor oil, you would be sick. Yeah, they give you this. See, y'all don't know, these young kids, we don't do that to our kids. But my mother used to get a big serving spoon and fill it heated too. She'd heat it. Oh my God. And I think she had an everlasting supply. Because if you spit it out, guess what? She was standing there with another spoonful. Oh! Yeah. Yeah, so you'd have, and then they'd give you an orange apple like that's going to make it better. Oh, my God. So if you were not sick, you'd be sick by the time they finished all them remedies on you. But they would say to you, oh, this is good for you. But, oh, did we think it was good? No. Oh, my God, castor oil, big old big spoon of it. Oh. And guess what they do? You had to stay in bed. Couldn't watch no TV. Couldn't do it. So if you'd have been better off going to school if you were faking. Be better going off to school. You know, because by the time they filled you full of castor oil, you didn't feel like nothing doing nothing anyway. You know, except going to the bathroom. You know, but she would say, oh, this is good for you. And you know what? Our processes of life are really good for us. It's good for us. You know, because we don't know what's down the road. We don't know the whole plan of God. It's not been revealed to us. We do have to thank God for some of those prayers that were not answered. Would have been tragic for us. But the Holy Spirit knew, didn't he? And he filtered that thing out as we were praying. Hallelujah. And it did work out for our good. So, the essence of all things is the divine will and purpose of God. It's all in the saying or the decree or the eternal purpose of God. And we don't know all of it. Oh, those things that we see are those things that are temporary. Hallelujah. But those things that are the spiritual blessings, those are eternal and they never change. They're dependable. They're reliable. Hallelujah. And we just thank God for them. You know, Satan again doesn't initiate anything in your life. God is always in complete control. Sometimes we think he might be on vacation, but he's not. He's not on vacation. He's always got it all together and in control. And in closing, the gospel of the grace ministry believes and teaches that the essence of eternal life engenders manifestation of God's eternal union with all of his elect according to the purposes and pleasure of his good will. And again, that's referencing Ephesians chapter 1 verses 5 and 9. May God continue to bless you with the illumination of who you are in Christ Jesus and what he has wrought for you through salvation in eternity. Amen.